Welcome to season 5 of Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 5 is impactful investments. How can you make a difference with your capital?
Our guests, who are managing impact investment funds, business owners, thought leaders, will empower you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will showcase various impact investment funds who are contributing to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by the United Nations.
There is no excuse. Shift your capital to create positive change in our world. Your children will be happier, you will feel fulfilled, and make money.
We will broadcast every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central European Time, here on Swiss Impact with Banerjee. You get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone.
Welcome back to our season five of our episode 4, which is dedicated to impactful investment opportunities. And today we have most impactful business. They will show us how can any car, really any car, become electric. From iconic cars, trucks, buses, all can be electric as Tesla.
So, you see this picture. Can you guess? This is one of the world's first electric car. In the beginning of the 19th century, electric cars were hot. New York used to have electric taxis. But somehow, the lobby of the diesel and petrol, they won.
Let's change that.
Yeah, exactly. It was very funny. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend from Zurich. She told me that while the COVID was going on and she was locked up at her home, she was watching our program, our TV, to remain optimist and still have some hope for mankind.
That's funny because in spite of your depressing stories, we managed to bring some hope to people's hearts. Exactly.
And yeah, so I would say keep watching our programs and share it with your friends and family. And it's easy. The link is just youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
Absolutely. And you can also listen to us on podcasts like Spotify. Ben, let's keep the tradition and you share an amazing story with us today. So what do you want to talk about?
Today, I want to talk about externalities. So I was participating in a panel discussion on impact and sustainability accelerator arranged by the Founders Institute. We had two more traditional investors with us in the panel. And during the discussion, it became certain that basic criteria of impact investor and traditional investor is quite same. You look at the management team, you look at the scalability, innovation, financial plan, etc.
Did you notice any difference in this case anyway?
Exactly. That's my point. Externalities. So an impact investor looks at the externalities. So what are measurable impact of the business on the social and environment, especially not only short term, but also long term? So how will externalities like climate change, changing regulations, transformer of customer thinking, because, you know, the customers are also changing their wishes and their way of thinking, like the impact of the car industry in Germany, the business. So, for example, while a traditional investor might think that investing in the big meat industry is a great idea, an impact investor will see that a meat industry is one of the root cause of deforestation of tropical rainforest, which is having quite significant negative impact, not only locally, but for the whole mankind.
If I may add, meat is also the cause for many health problems of you.
Exactly.
So, you're still eating meat.
So in causing, and it is also indirectly, deforestation is also causing death of many, which has given rise to legal cases and everything. So anyway, and due to the rise of the global consciousness among the people on this point, there's massive disinvestment going on from the meat industries, but also the regulations are changing, which is impacting the profit of this business, and very soon is turning many of these businesses into stranded assets. And this is the difference. But I did notice, or I want to say that there's a small misunderstanding among the investors between the term sustainable ESG investment and impact investment.
My favorite.
Exactly. The traditional ones think that when a business is doing something for the environment or has an ESG stamp or it claims to be sustainable, then they can invest into it with a clean heart, clean mind, and without a second thought, thinking that they're investing into something good. Can you explain in layman's term, what is the difference? I mean, I use the word handprint and footprint, but maybe you can explain the in layman's term, the difference between sustainable investment and impact investment.
With pleasure. So very briefly, to understand, you need to think about an underlying mission. So impact companies, right, and impact investors, they have an underlying mission, like providing accessible education or solving climate change issue. Maybe it's about renewable energy or action for creating more sustainable cities and sustainable consumption. Right. So we have an underlying mission at the core of the business. And at the same time, this business must be profitable because it's not philanthropy or charity. And this is when we are talking about impact investments. Sustainable investments, they go a step backwards. Okay, they might apply some policies, environmental, social governance policies. So they can apply, for example, waste reduction, or they also reduce CO2 emissions. Maybe they have more women, so gender equality is also a topic in the top management positions. But still, there is no underlying mission. So the main goal of them is to create profit for the shareholders, which you also can see that many sustainable companies which are listed on stock exchange, Apple, Microsoft, they're called sustainable, but they are not changing lives. They are not changing systems as such, right? So we are talking about impact and positive impact, of course, not just impact. And this is impact investment.
Yeah, you still gave an example of some good companies like Apple, but you also have companies like Philip Morris, which is also very sustainable ESG company.
Even right nowadays are doing such thing and claiming to be ESG compliant. And this is why we are very strict with that. So no greenwashing. I will not say another word here.
But before we call in our guests, I want to quote someone. And this came in a couple of days back. The CEO of ExxonMobil, one of the world's largest petroleum company, mentioned that by 2040, every new passenger car sold will be electric. And I didn't believe it, but apparently already in 2021, 9% of passenger cars sold are electric.
Yeah, now I understand why you mentioned this quote. And I'd like, with big pleasure, invite our guest, Federico Restero Sierra, the founder of Energia Vectorial from Colombia. Federico, please come to our TV show right now.
Hi, Vietnam. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hi, Federico. Great. How are you? Are you in Colombia right now?
I am in Colombia right now. Very excited, actually, to keep working, as you say, for an impact company.
Absolutely. Let me quickly introduce you to our guest, our audience, before we start. So, Federico is an entrepreneur and social innovator. You have traveled to more than 60 countries and has more than 10 years of experience in sustainability and international development. Next to being founder of Energia Vectorial, you also are a founder of electric mobility startup, Impact Hub Medellin Innovation Laboratory for Entrepreneurship and Sustainability, and also Plus Social Good Connector of the United Nations. That's not all. You're also been chosen by DTU and C40 as a high impact entrepreneur to free the streets of carbon. And for those who do not know what is DTU, it is Technical University of Denmark, and C40, it stands for Cities Climate Leadership Group, which is a group of 97 cities around the world that represent 1/12 of the world's population and 1/4 of the global economy. So it is a huge thing. And I also want to say a few words about your company. Energia Victorial. So what it does, it decarbonizes mobility by converting internal combustion engine vehicles, and in simple words, petrol and diesel cars into electric vehicles or electric cars. With a very simple process, you can make any vehicle electric, from Volkswagen Beetle to bus, truck, so any car can become electric. Zeus, you are strongly contributing to reducing greenhouse gas emissions and pollution emissions from mobility. So did you know that, I mean, our audience, did you know that this accounts nearly 70 to 90% of the emissions in cities in developing countries? So to get a real look and feel of this negative impact by caused by cars, please go and experience smog in major Indian, Chinese, or South American cities. And we, of course, want to change that. And you, Federico, as well. So great to have you with us today.
So, Federico, before you transferred your activities from law and business administration, you became a visionary entrepreneur and a social innovator. That is one interesting journey, especially from law and business. Would you share your story with us, and why is air pollution so important for you?
Yep. So when I was at university, I joined a student group that is called ISEC, and I was part of this global organization that works for a peaceful world, and it does it through exchange. So I was able to travel to a lot of countries, see a lot of realities, and I was part of the international team of ISEC back in 2015. In that moment, the Sustainable Development Goals were launched, and as part of the global organization, I thought to myself, well, if I'm in this position, the privilege to be in the world's largest youth-led organization, what can we do to work for the world? So in that moment, I created a project that is called Youth for Global Goals that aims to activate every young person for the Sustainable Goals. And in 2 years, we reached 120 countries, more than 400,000 young people were working in projects all around the world. So I was very inspired about how young people just checked around and saw problems, and they were looking to solve those problems. And I decided to come back to Colombia because there's a lot of Colombians that go out of the country and never come back. So there's a lot of people that we don't impact the country that we're from. So when I came back, the first thing that I noticed when I got out of the plane was the air. And it was very upsetting because I never felt the air of my city. My city is Medellin, which is the second largest city of the country, and is known as the Eternal Spring City. So There was no reason for me to be feeling the air. And I asked around, and they told me it was because of air pollution. And it was very, the click moment for me was when my sister told me that my niece, that is called Milagros, miracles in English, she told me that Milagros was getting very sick in the lungs because of the air pollution, and that they needed to take out Milagros out of the city so the lungs could be clean. And I started researching about it, and I talked to the doctors, and they told me, this doesn't happen only to Milagros. It happens to every children in every developing country city, in every city that is in the developing world because of the air pollution. So I researched more, and I saw, as Esbieta outlined before, that 70 to 90% of the emissions in cities come from the transport system. So in that moment, I was not a big fan of cars. I am not an engineer, but I decided that I needed to clean the air of my city for Milagros. So that's when I got into mobility.
Wow, that's really strong. You know, I admire people who not just see the problem, but also do something about it. So thanks for sharing the story. Another question. So what is, in your opinion, then the main constraints of the internal combustion engine vehicles, so diesel and petroleum cars?
Mm-hmm. Well, so I see it from two points. The first one is human, is that our lives depends too much on cars right now. Like, at least in developing world, you take the car everywhere. And also in the States, the people just grab their car to buy milk instead of walking. So there's a behavioral aspect to mobility where we use cars without understanding the damage that we're doing to ourselves through the emissions that it generates. And that takes me to the second point, which is engineering and climate constraint, is that every time that we got into a car and every time that we press the acceleration, we are basically killing the next generation because we're generating more pollutants and more greenhouse emissions. So the main constraint is that without understanding the impact of our behavior, we're actually making worse for the planet because of the decisions that we take of driving a car every day just to buy milk. So that, I would say, is the main constraint, which is financing a whole industry of petroleum for mobility. Yep.
Wow, that's a powerful story. And what is Energia Vectorial? And what is the story behind this?
Mm-hmm. So Energia Vectorial, it's a sustainable mobility solutions lab. Basically, we say that we're a lab because when we started, we knew that we needed to tackle mobility as one of the main challenges in cities for clean air, but we didn't know how. We just knew that we needed to reduce the amount of vehicles that were generating emissions. So we started with a renting concept where people will have long leases on electric vehicles, and that way we will support or strengthen the penetration of electric vehicles in cities. But we saw, because of the socio-economical characteristics of the developing world and specifically in Colombia, that electric vehicles are very expensive. Like 30,000 euros in the Netherlands is a lot of money, but 30,000 euros in Colombia is way a lot of money, right? So we came up and we find out that there is this possibility that you can convert a car to electric. And we saw in the cost comparison that it actually had a lot of benefits. So we started doing it with a car from the mom of my business partner. So we took the car and we made it electric. And in that way, we started like figuring out different solutions for making electric mobility accessible for the developing world. So we don't need to wait 10 years when our world is who knows in what stage to actually be part of the change. And we also saw that there's a huge impact in the finance of people that convert their cars, the companies that convert their cars to electric. And in a way, when we were talking about this, people were like, oh, this has another impact, is that we don't need to produce more cars because you use a car that is already there that probably is generating way more emissions because we started converting cars from the 60s. From the 70s, and people were like, whoa, can you do that electric? So the traffic police were stopping us just to check our vehicle, like, this is amazing what you guys do. So basically we're a mobility lab where we find solutions to generate a cleaner air in cities.
Wow. But do you also have competitors? And if you have that, how do you differentiate from them, and who are they?
I think Tesla is not yet in Colombia, or there are very few cars there, right?
But Tesla is a new car.
I know, but still, it can be an alternative, right?
Yeah, there's a Colombia has a goal of having 600,000 electric cars by 2030. Right now, we're under 10,000. So, and we only have 8 years, and the goal was set 5 years ago. So we're very slow. So there's competitors. First, Volkswagen, Renault, Tesla, they are competitors. And the main differentiator that we have from them, there are two. The first one is price, because we are a third of the price of those cars. And the second one is that you can convert the car that you're attached to, right? So if you have a Volkswagen Beetle from the 60s that I don't know, your father gave it to you and you had your first date in that car with your husband or wife, we can make that car electric, right? Or if you watch a movie and you're in love with the, I don't know, the Scooby-Doo van, for example, we can take that van and make it electric. So there's a financial component because we're cheaper, but there's also an emotional component, is that mm-hmm. we can convert any car to electric. So that's with those type of vehicles or those kind of competitors. And there's a lot of substitutes to us. Like you can take a bus, you can take a motorcycle or any micro mobility solution. And I would say that for us, the vehicles become a more comfortable solution for our customers. Because as I mentioned before, mobility became a behavioral thing. Right, it's part of our lives right now, how we move to places. So it's very hard to tell someone, or for example, I cannot tell my grandpa that he's 70 years old that all of a sudden he needs to ride a bike. He still has his car, but he can convert his car to electric. So in that way, we're also more comfortable, and it is an easy transition from mobility to electric mobility, because the only thing that you're doing is changing the engine, and that way you're not generating emissions, and you're also then doing impact through your daily life.
Federico, can you then share what are the costs of turning the cars into electric? Because you mentioned that you're substantially cheaper. So how much cheaper? How much does it cost to turn the car into electric?
Yeah, so the cost always depends on two things: the range that you want and the weight of the vehicle. On those two things, we're able to provide our cost. But normally, we are 30% of the cost of buying a brand new electric vehicle. So the cheapest electric vehicle here in Colombia is a Renault Twizy, which is around 12,000 euros. In that vehicle, you can only fit one person. So it is actually not useful for a family, for example. Mm-hmm. But the next vehicle is 30,000 euros.
30,000 euros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 30. It's 30,000. It's very expensive here in Colombia. Having in mind that the GDP per capita in Colombia is just above 6,000 euros, a person will need to save 5 years to buy this vehicle. Mm-hmm. The conversion that we make, the cheapest one, starts at 8,000. So it allows people for a third of the price to become electric, and then you're saving every day because electricity is cheaper than gas. Maintenance in an electric vehicle is cheaper than in a petrol vehicle. So it also has impact on the finances. So having this in mind, when you drive a lot, for example, if you're a company or you're an Uber driver, a cab, or if you have trucks for last mile delivery, there's a huge impact in your finances because you're becoming electric. You don't need to buy new cars because you already have your fleet. And the second is it becomes electric in the operational aspect. So you have a return of investment faster.
Mm-hmm. And who are the kind of your potential customers at this moment?
So we have, in our strategy, we have created like different target customers as we grow. So the first target customers that we have right now are people that have old cars from the 60s and the 70s, Volkswagen Beetles, Mercedes, BMWs, because they are really attached to their cars and we can pimp them up and make them electric. So people get like very excited.
Federico, sorry for interrupting. So not from 50s. Did you ever had a car from 50s? Not before 60s?
The oldest that we have had is from the 62. We have converted, but that's one of the special projects that we're doing. We're actually now converting a horse carriage that is used for tourism purposes, so they don't use animals anymore. So that's a very old thing, right? That it can be used in any tourism destination instead of horses.
Then I was very generous because I told to my sister, they can't even convert cars from 50s. And she said, no. Yeah.
That can be done, actually. It can be done. We haven't done it yet, but it can be done because it's the same process. Okay. Yeah. It's just a matter that we need the car. Once we have the car, we'll make it electric for you.
Cool. Good to know.
I was thinking in India, everybody can have an electric car everywhere. But the real question will be, how do we get it charged? Especially when you don't even have regular electricity supply in most cities, in most cases. I don't know how it is in Colombia, but do you also provide charging solutions to the person who changes his car? Or what kind of system is there to charge the cars?
Yes. So I'll finish the previous one. Apart from the people with old vehicles, we also target companies with last mile delivery trucks, because it becomes the return of investment for them is faster. So that would be our first target. And then we will start moving into other targets, like people with just cars that want to go electric, or cabs, Ubers. So for our vehicles, we have an onboard charging solution that you can plug it into any socket. Or any charger. So any socket is that you can plug it just into the wall in your house. You don't need a different thing. So in that way, we make it more accessible, because if you go to your friend's house and they don't have an electric car, they'll probably have a socket, right? So you just plug it there and you can charge it. That's one thing. The other thing is that as a mobility solution lab, we have been working in chargers that you can move around. Instead of being a charging station, it's a portable charger that is made out of the second life of the batteries that are used in mobility. So that way you can also have, where there's not much access to electricity, you can charge these charging solutions and take them to those places so people can have access to this as well. So we're also working on that.
Have you thought about, the Tesla is now coming up with solar charger, that the car itself will have a kind of solar charger on it, or you have a charging unit at home, which is the whole day being charged by the sun. And in the evening, when you come, you plug your car in, your car gets charged. Are you also thinking of solutions in this way?
Yeah, that is actually very easy to do with a couple of solar panels and just having batteries on site. So you charge the batteries with solar and then you charge the car. That is very easy to do, and we are able to do that as well.
But in the US, for example, it's fully subsidized. Is it also getting subsidized in Colombia?
It's not fully subsidized yet in Colombia. There are certain countries in Latin America that have subsidies, so we can tap into those. But clean energy in Colombia has no tax, so it also makes it a bit cheaper. And that's something that we've seen through the years, that clean energy and clean mobility have been dropping in price thanks to the improvements that. So at we are every year becoming cheaper for giving more accessibility to people.
Okay.
Federico, I think two very important questions to the car, which is already transformed. So once you transform the car, how long would it take for the vehicle to be fully charged? It's first question. And what is the range in kilometers that the fully charged car can drive? I hope it's more than 50.
So the first one, if you plug it to just the wall, to a socket in the wall, it can take up to six and a half hours. If you plug it into a charging station, it can take 3.5-4 hours. If you plug it to a fast charging station, it can take 30 minutes. So it has a range depending on where you plug it. The second one, it depends on the range that you put. We have converted cars that go up to 250 kilometers per charge. So we can do more. We actually right now in a project to convert a truck, not a truck, a bus that takes people from one city to another. And they ask us for 300 kilometers of range. So we have done 250 so far, but we're doing a 300 now.
That's very competitive range. That's very good.
So I remember you also had participated in our show, The Impact Shark Tank, where one of the questions which Kevin Harrington, who is the original shark from the program Shark Tank, asked, what is the maximum speed the transformed car can reach? Can you reply to that today?
Yes, I can reply to that today. And it's 160 kilometers per hour.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, not in all countries you can even explore that. You know, in Switzerland, 100, 120, 100, yeah. 120. That's
even
it.
In America, you can't.
No, it's exactly.
I think you will only have a problem in Germany, where they ask you to drive like very fast, right?
Wow. Well, yeah, but still, many cars in Germany drive also 120, 130.
On the left lane.
And the average speed in cities is from 15 to 25 kilometers per hour. So it's a very useful urban solution.
Absolutely. And how long does it take for a vehicle to be turned into electric? So is it 1 year, 1 week, or how long does it take?
So if we have not done it before, because there need to be an engineering part of it, it takes us 4 weeks. But if we've done it before, it can take us up to 1 week. Our objective by the end of next year is to do it in 2 days.
Wow. That's much quicker than by ordering a new car and waiting. Sometimes it
takes six months.
Yeah.
And about your product, you answered a lot of questions. Now about your services, can you tell us about your high security technique? Do you provide maintenance service? Do you provide any kind of guarantee?
So to answer that, I would like to show you also the vehicles, how we do it, because visually it will be cooler for people. So I'll be sharing my screen. Let me know if you guys can see my screen now. Yes.
Yes, we can. Maybe.
So in the screen, you can see some of the vehicles that we have converted. Any car that is in the street can become electric, from a Volkswagen Beetle in the left to a truck in the right. And the process that we do is very simple. It's an electric installation. So we take out the engine and the gas tank, and we put in an electric engine and a battery pack. So it's a very simple and safe process that has all the electric securities in place or safeties in place to allow us to allow our customers to drive their car around without any problem. We have been converting cars for the last 5 years, and none of these cars have come back to our laboratory for any inconvenience. Apart from converting the car, we also provide maintenance solutions, both to converted cars, but also to any owner of electric vehicles. So if you have a BMW or if you have a Tesla, you can come to our laboratory and we will also do maintenance on those vehicles. The warranty is 2 years, but it can also be extended in case the owner wants it. Normally, the ones that ask us for extension of warranty are cities when they convert buses, or companies when they convert fleets. But we have 2 years warranty and it can be extended.
Okay, that looks amazing, especially this little Beetle on the streets. You wouldn't think it's electric, right?
No. Federico had promised me a Beetle, an electric one, an old one.
I have, because actually, Ben, as I told you, one of the projects that we have is to convert cars here in Colombia or Latin America and start taking them to Europe, exporting them to Europe. So it would be very cool that you guys can have electric Beetles there now.
That's absolutely perfect. I would only drive that one there to advertise. Federico, but I think it's very important to mention that also the cars which are converted, they get kind of a stamp that it's approved by local car authorities, that they are completely suitable to drive on the street. Is it correct?
Yes. So here in Colombia, we already have contact with all the transit authorities around the country. And when a person converts their car, they have in their permits that is electric and that it can be driven around. Here in Latin America, there's a lot of regulations for petrol cars. And actually, you cannot drive your car every day when you have a petrol car. But when you have an electric car, you have the possibility to drive it everywhere. For our project to export the cars to Europe, we're already in contact with the Dutch authorities, checking all the conditions that we have to meet to be able to export the car, but also for the car to be driven in the Netherlands and in the European Union.
I think by now we have many investors who are asking, okay, what is their business model? How can we scale it up maybe? So would you share with us, what's your business model?
Yes. So our business model is that the way that we make money is that people come, they give us their car, they pay us 50% upfront. And when we convert the car and we give it back, they pay the other 50%. So that's the simplest business model. We also have now distribution in two other countries, Honduras and Guatemala. And that's one of the strategies for growth that we've seen, generating distribution in other countries. And the idea is to evolve that into a franchise model where we keep the distribution, but we allow for the business to grow everywhere in the world, doing the conversions. And we keep the innovation processes and everything to scale it faster. And the third part is for the idea that we have for exporting the cars is that we convert two cars here in Colombia. We take them to the Netherlands. We have a couple of partnerships with all, dealers there that will expose the cars, and the people will pre-order them with 50% upfront. And because of the cost of the car there in Europe, we will be able to finance the whole conversion here in Colombia, ship them to Europe, and then receive the rest of the money when we give it back, when we give the vehicle there in Europe. So that way, it will become a self-finance expansion process for exporting cars into Europe.
Awesome.
So, and there's one thing that I would like also to share there, Dieta. One of the main challenges that we've seen in Latin America is still accessibility. So one of the goals that we have is to be able to finance the conversion. So instead of paying $4,000 or $8,000 upfront, you right. pay $1,000 and then a monthly fee for the next 3 years. So it becomes a financing business as well. And we provide more accessibility, but then our penetration will be bigger because more people mm-hmm. will be able to convert their car just by, say, just the amount of money that you save from petrol to electric, that probably could become the fee that you pay monthly. So that mm-hmm. way we'll be able to provide a bigger solution. So that's the current model, is that we convert and you pay us for that. The future yep. model that we're moving into is financing and export.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a leasing, right? For transforming the car, you would need to get some partnership with some great banks in Colombia for that, I suppose.
Or doing it ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you must have converted many different kind of cars by now. Which yes. has been the most challenging one and why?
So I'll share again my screen so production can also show some of the pictures that we have. Mm-hmm. We have converted many cars already. So as you can see, Volkswagen Beetle from the Herbie movie. We have converted yeah. Astawas from the 500s. We have converted trucks, the Renault 4. This was actually one of the most difficult ones because it was the first one. And we need to learn a lot in understanding the weights of where to put the things. That has been the hardest one so far because it's the first one. It took us like 2 months to get it right. Right now, it takes us a week, right, to just convert the car and have it ready for anyone. So we have converted, as you can see in the picture in the bottom.
Oh, that looks pretty old and that it cannot drive at all.
Yeah, that's it's from the 30s, that one. So that one can also be converted. And we have a very big laboratory now. The other one that is a project that we're in right now, and we hope to make the conversion in the next year probably, is a truck Series 8. A truck Series 8 is one of those very, very big trucks that is up to 40 to 50 tons. So that one probably also is going to be a bit tough to make. But in general, converting a car is a very simple process. So there's nothing to be afraid of, actually.
But when you convert a truck, especially such a big high tonnage, it's going to take weeks to charge it.
No, because it depends on the range that the truck needs. And also there are right now very fast charging solutions, and you can charge them in a couple of hours. So, for example, when you're going from one city to another, probably when the driver is having lunch, you just charge it there. So it becomes more of an operational thing for the companies where they put the chargers. They should be located in places where the drivers will stop for dining or stop for resting. So while they are sleeping or eating, you charge the truck so you can go the rest of the way.
Okay.
I would be interesting about the batteries. So how do you dispose them, and do you recycle them, or what do you do with them?
Yes, so that's actually a very cool question, Svieta, because a lot of people ask us, oh, yeah, but you're going to be polluting with batteries now. And it's like, yeah, well, no, we don't pollute with batteries. There's two things that we do with them. We first do like an assessment of the state of the battery to understand the capabilities that they have now, because there's multiple things that can be done with them. The first one is that after the evaluation, they can go into a second life to store solar energy, for example, in areas where you don't have access to electricity. So you're able to store it. As Ben was mentioning before, in India, there's a lot of places where there's no access to electricity. But if you have batteries, you can plug them into a solar system and you can store the energy there. So there's a second life for batteries after mobility. And after that as well, there's certain startups that we're already partnering with here in Colombia that recover materials from the batteries, and they're able to recover up to 90% of the materials already that are in the batteries. So they can then be plugged again into the system, generating a circular economy in the battery world. So second life solutions like storing energy, or for example, the charging solution that we have that is movable or portable, or recovering the materials so they can be used again.
What is an impact on the environment in society? How would you say that of Energía Vectorial?
So I think the easy one is that we take the emissions from that the car is producing to zero. So you're not generating any more emissions. We do that analysis in every city that we go with the reports on emissions that the city have. So we understand how many CO2, CO, or PM2.5 emissions we are preventing by converting every car. So that's the first one. In climate change, as there's less emissions, then we will reduce global warming. Clean air. That has an impact not only in your lungs or in your general health, but the more pollution there's in a city, and this is a research of the King College in London, is that the more pollution there's in a city, the more possibilities is there for people to have mental health problems. So there's also an impact there. The third one, from the societal point of view or human point of view, is that you will also be generating employment in your country, because then you don't need to externalize it to many other countries. So we believe that franchising model also allows for countries to start generating the technology in their countries and generating employment there. So we see the impact that we have from the impact and from employment generation in the countries.
And have you also extrapolated your impact? For example, how many countries and beneficiaries you can impact with your business?
Yeah, so for example, here in Medellin, there's 6 million people. So every car that we convert is going to generate a cleaner air for them. So we have converted cars in Barranquilla, Bogota, Cali, and Medellin. That is around 15 to 20 million people here in Colombia. And if we start taking our cars overseas, every time that we convert a car is one less car generating emissions. Yep. I think the bigger impact will happen once we start scaling the conversion of buses and trucks, which are the ones that generate the most pollution. So the more laws and everything that is happening in the world pushing companies to become cleaner, it will also generate a bigger opportunity for us, because we are a cheaper solution that delivers the same performance as a brand new electric car. So that way companies will convert and will reduce their emissions, making an impact on people's life, but also in their finances.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I wonder how many years would it take to transform 6 million cars.
So with our current capabilities, quite a bit. But as we grow, we believe that it can be done in the next 10 years.
Go ahead.
So what is your plan in the next 5 years? Or more importantly, how are you planning to expand your market?
So our plan for the next 5 years is, this year, our idea is to finalize our franchise model so we're able to take it to more countries around Latin America. So we're able to expand with the capabilities of our partners. And also exporting, the second one is exporting the cars. So we also want to export our first two cars to the European Union to understand the whole process, right? So we already know the logistics and we're finalizing or understanding better the needs that we have with the European Union to drive the cars there. And the third one is financing the cars. So those are the three focuses that we have, making it more accessible in Latin America, distribution through franchises, and exporting cars to more developed markets as the Nordics, North America, and the European Union in general. For that, we are actually looking for investment enough that will be probably paced. So right now we're looking for $1 million that will help us understand better these three models. And after we get some of the indicators and targets that we have, in that moment we'll be needing in about 2-3 years, $5 more million to be able to now scale. So it is an investment in two moments, one now, one in 3 years, depending on the goals that are reached in between those two moments.
Okay. Sounds great. This is a call to action to any investor listening right now. Connect with Federico or ourselves, so we would be happy to introduce you guys to make this happen. Federico, another question about challenges. So what is the main challenge Energia Vectorial is facing, or you think will face in the future, and how you're going to tackle it?
So the main challenge that we actually face is logistics. The international value chain has been very disrupted because of COVID and just the amount of ships going all around. So that's the main challenge that we have, mainly because right now we're small. So when we ask for batteries or engines from anywhere in the world, we don't ask for 100, we ask for 5. So it is more expensive for us. So as we grow, we will be able to import more batteries and engines, and that way we will be prioritized from people that we're buying the batteries from. So the main challenge is logistics. As we grow, that will become less of a challenge. When we're growing, we also need to be to have a stronger relationship with our providers. So one of the main things that we need to do is not only to increase the amount of batteries or engines that we buy, but also strengthen the relationship that we have with those providers, both in Europe and in China. So that is the main challenge that we have from the logistics perspective or business perspective. From the market accessibility, we believe is financing. And that's why we have this project to start financing the cars, because people don't have enough money. Well, we can focus on the higher part of the population, but to really make an impact, we need to have a solution that allows people to access it easier, and financing the conversion will be the way.
Exactly. And this, you already answered some of the next ideas that was coming to my mind, is that you definitely rely on partners for the execution of its services. Are you also looking for partners around the world or even in Colombia itself?
Yes, we're always evaluating better technology for what we do. So electric engines and batteries for mobility. So actually yesterday we were talking to the Low Carbon Business Action Commission of the European Union, and they are connecting us with 6 startups in the European Union that work in batteries. So we're having meetings with them to understand which batteries work better for us, and we're able to use them for our conversions. So every time we're looking for more partners, but also to understand better the technology, because as I said before, we didn't start converting cars. So we keep understanding what's happening there so we can keep cleaning the air. In the end, It's a call to action, not to save Milagros, but to save every other child. So I believe if you're an investor and if you have a daughter or a granddaughter, this is probably one of the investments that you should be doing.
Exactly. Dara, you completely are clear about that.
And how our wider audience could support you? Maybe they can follow you on social media or whatever. How do you see that?
So I see three ways to support us. The first one is, and the easiest one is, follow us on social media at eVectorial underline co, and that you will find all the vehicles that we're converting. And we will start posting more because we just moved to a new laboratory that is bigger. So people will see our daily conversions and what we do there. The second one is, if you believe there's a market for this in your country, let's talk so we check if we can start exporting cars there or even creating a franchise there. Mm-hmm. Or one of the things actually that we do is we also train people to do this. And that has become our strategy for franchising. So we teach you how to do this. So we provide you with the elements to do it as well, so you can do it in your country. And the third one is invest, because that way it will allow us to grow faster, to test more things and be able to generate more solutions for cleaner air.
And have you also thought about crowdfunding?
We have not thought about crowdfunding. Yeah. It became legal in Colombia just like 2 years ago, so we haven't gone into that, but we believe that is a possibility that we might open when we open our company in Europe, to finance ourselves through crowdfunding.
Okay. So you are, at this moment, if I understand you correctly, you are looking for equity investor.
Yes, we're looking for equity investors.
1 million.
€1 million now, 5 more million in 3 years, depending on targets that are rich, and talk with our investors when they understand the whole strategy. And the 1 million now amounts for 17% of the company.
1.7.
1.7, yes.
Okay.
That sounds great. The time is running, Federico. Last question. If you would please share a call to action for our global audience, your message.
My call to action from Energía Vectorial is support us, and not only us, but every other impact startup. So if you would like to get in touch with us for investment, reach out to me or through to Ben or Svieta, so we can make this happen to scale our company. But the wider call to action is, how do we become more mindful of our behaviors and the choices we make when we buy an item, when we invest in companies, so we can really have a better world for our children? That would be my main call to action. But for Energía Vectorial, I expect to see you in our board meetings soon. So looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you. That was a very powerful message indeed. I just wanted to tell you before going further is that very often people are not aware of one of the countries which is very advanced in battery technology is Japan. So you should also look into the Japan, and maybe afterwards we can also talk about it. They have a very advanced battery technology and they are also exporting it now. So thank you so very much for joining us today. And as you're aware that as a guest, as a thank you to our guest, you will have an honorary membership to Canomile. And also you will receive an Impact Leaders certificate.
I think he already has one, by the way.
I didn't know that.
I can have two.
You can have two. One for Federico personally and one for Energía Vectorial.
For Milagros.
And for Milagros being the inspiration for the whole journey. Thank you for joining us today, Federico. We keep in touch.
Thanks a lot, Vieta, for this time, Ben. Thanks a lot for everything. And let's keep on working for a better world, decarbonizing mobility one car at a time.
Thank you very much. Like our son says. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, dear viewers, with this we finish the episode of season 5, which was really amazing. So please don't forget to subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/SwissImpact. And then you will be always updated what's going on the streets and in the world.
Yeah. and looking forward to seeing you all next Friday with another amazing guest. He is one of the most important and knowledgeable person in the world on the topic of climate change. That is Professor Dr. Petri Talas, the Secretary General of WMO, the World Meteorological Organization.
Right, so don't miss that one. And we invite all impactful businesses who think they are ready to be on the TV show and need some push to get investors, contact us and we would be happy to consider you and you can present. So, and as for now, you get more if you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Hi, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show, Swiss Impact with Banerjee's.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community and join it.
We look forward to sharing the next episodes with you. And until then, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.